Well, happy Father's Day, Cornerstone Church. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, my first Father's Day. If you guys have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be starting there this morning. If you don't have a Bible or own a Bible, you can take one off the Bible table and take it home and make it your own and read it throughout the week. And also, I'll have the words up for you on the screen. We're in the middle of our Mythbuster sermon series. We're talking about the reasons that people give about why they don't worship God or believe in Jesus or believe in the Bible. And we're busting those myths, testing them to see if there's truth to them. And we've been talking about some of these cliches that people talk about that don't have any truth to them. Like we talked about the cliche that science has disproved God or that the Bible is unreliable. And those sermons are online at ccblaine.org if you'd like to go back and catch up, as well as the PowerPoints online. And today we're going to be talking about the myth that Christianity is a crutch for the weak. I have a friend named Mark who's very outspokenly against Christianity and against religious belief and faith. And we were talking, and I was telling him about what I felt was the need for God. And Mark said, I don't need to believe in God. I don't need to believe in Santa Claus. I don't need to believe in the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, or an imaginary friend in the sky. Christianity is just a crutch for the weak, and if you need that to get through your life, then more power to you, but I don't need that. And this myth that Christianity is a crutch for the weak is intended to be an insult to the believer, that somehow the believer is weak or deficient and can't get through life without faith in God. And the unbeliever is presented as strong and not needing that sort of help. And so today we're going to test this myth, the myth of that Christianity is a crutch for the weak. And the thing about this myth is that it's really not a myth. It's really absolutely true. And the Bible is clear on that. It's part of God's merciful plan that he is close to those who are weak and that he's near to those who are humble. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. And this myth is true. And it's part of God's merciful plan. And I can say that I have experienced that mercy in my life. I'm not ashamed to admit it, I'm weak. And I'm not ashamed to admit either, I've never been weaker in my entire life than when I became a Christian. There was nothing severe that was going on in my life, but I just had no meaning, no purpose, no joy, no self-esteem. And I looked out at the world and the options that were presented, the lives that I could live that were supposed to be meaningful and fulfilling, and they provided no motivation for me. When I scrutinized them and looked at them with a critical eye, their meaning faded like the grass in the hot summer sun and withered. They didn't provide meaning. They didn't provide enough motivation for me to get up in the morning. And many mornings I didn't want to. I didn't want to be alive. I was never weaker than before I became a Christian. When I was in college, my roommate said, you know, kind of a hippie dude, look inside yourself and find strength. Look inside yourself and find strength to live. Believe in yourself. But an honest examination, when I looked inside, I saw too much ungodliness and selfishness. An honest examination, I didn't have the sort of strength that I needed. There was no resource inside for hope or for change. And I was weak. When I looked inside, what I saw was someone who was incredibly insecure, so much so that I could barely even admit my weaknesses, let alone face them. And I certainly couldn't forgive myself. When I looked inside, I saw someone who had flaws that kept them from doing what I knew what I should do and what was right. For example, I knew that I should be living a selfless life. But when I looked inside, what I saw was a selfishness that kept me from doing what I needed to do. And this myth is not a myth, it's true. In my weak state, in my humble state, being humbled by the circumstances at life, I was able then to look at my spiritual weakness and recognize the distance between myself and God that was caused by my weakness, my sin, the ways that I had chosen to hurt myself and hurt others and rebel against God. In my weakness, I was able to recognize that and admit it. And I stopped denying it. I need help, and I still need help today. And Christianity is a crutch for the weak, and my legs were broken. And so I became a Christian. And I put my faith and my trust and my hope in Jesus Christ. And I found strength for the day and hope for the future. The myth is true. And praise God, it's true. The Holy Spirit of God in his merciful plan brings comfort and strength to the weak. and to the humble. We're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Christians should not pretend that we're strong. Christians should not put on a fake smile and pretend that everything is all right. God works in our weakness. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." The guy who wrote this is the Apostle Paul, and on October 27th, did I pronounce that right? I don't know how that worked. On October 27th, on a sermon online, that's available online, we delved into these passages a lot deeper. If you're interested, you can go online and check that out as well, but I thought it'd be a great time to revisit this passage. The guy who wrote this is the Apostle Paul, some 2,000 years ago, about 20 years after Christ had died. The Apostle Paul went to the city of Corinth, that's why the book is called Corinthians, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. 20 years after Jesus died, he made it there, and he preached about Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection from the grave. And now, in this letter, he's writing back to the church that he started. And he's reminding them of where they came from and what the situation was when they came to be Christians. And he's reminding them of their weakness. Now, if you know a Christian, it's likely that they've been humbled by the circumstances of this life. The people in the city of Corinth were humbled because they were not wise according to worldly standards. In first century Corinth, it was a society that was incredibly influenced by some of the wisest people in the history of humanity, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They just came a few hundred years before. And this society greatly valued wisdom, and specifically the type of philosophical wisdom. And Paul's saying, you guys didn't have it. And they were humbled by the circumstances of their life. They weren't of noble birth. In this society, wisdom, status, and honor, these were the ultimate that you could achieve in your society. And if you didn't have a noble birth, if you were born into a lowly family, you didn't have it. And Paul's reminding them of their weakness. And he continues on. He says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." And he says, God shows what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God shows what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. And the Corinthian church had been humbled. But it was God's plan to be near to them when they were weak. In the Corinthian church, as Paul came and preached the gospel, there was no church, there was no Corinthians in the city of Corinth. Paul came and preached the gospel. He preached a message of weakness to the society that valued status, honor, and wisdom. And his message was that human beings have rebelled against God because of the ways that we've been ungodly, because we're all ungodly at times, because we've all got imperfections, that sin stands between us and God, and there's a separation. And it was a message of weakness. Paul said to this society that valued honor and power and status, he said, admit your weakness, recognize it, face it, and repent of it, and accept God's plan for salvation. Accept Jesus Christ's death on the cross for that weakness. For God himself has come and died on the cross to remove that weakness and that sin from us. Paul preached a message of weakness. And the ones that were responded, the ones who God was able to reach, were the ones who had been humbled by the circumstances of this world. In their humble, in their weak state, they were able to look at that and recognize it and repent of their sin. While those around them who were proud couldn't face it, and therefore did not repent of their sin and join. God worked through their weakness. It's his plan. And God does this to shame the proud, Paul says. God uses those who are humbled by the circumstances of this world, who are looked down upon, and he uses them to accomplish his purposes. And that was the Corinthian church. They were weak. And if you know a Christian, it's likely that they've been humbled by the circumstances of the world. And I was humbled by the circumstances of this world. I had no meaning, no purpose, no joy, no self-esteem. The Corinthians were humbled by the circumstances of this world. They weren't wise. They didn't have status. They didn't have honor. They were looked down upon in their society. And they were humbled. And what are the circumstances that brought you to Christ? What humbled you in this world that caused you to recognize your weakness, to no longer be able to deny it, to be able to look at it and admit it and repent of it. Or maybe you're still deceiving yourself into thinking that you're strong. Well, I beg you to reconsider, because God loves and died for the weak. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We'll be starting in verse 6 of Romans 5. Paul says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The message of Christianity, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not that when we're weak, we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make ourselves right with God through our own strength by becoming perfect people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that we're not perfect today. Literally not perfect. That means something. Most of the time we give lip service that, "Oh yeah, I'm not perfect," but we think we are. We don't do anything about our imperfection. Deep down, we think we're perfect, but we know that we can't say that in public because we'll come off as arrogant. Or maybe we know in our head that we're not perfect, but it hasn't hit our heart yet. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that we're not perfect, and we can recognize and admit it. We're not perfect today, we weren't perfect yesterday, and we won't be perfect tomorrow. Being in the church doesn't mean that you're perfect. Those who are Christians are not doing a good job of being good people. That's not the point. The point is that God died for us, out of love for us. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we weren't perfect and won't be perfect. And yet, while we were ungodly, and oftentimes still are, God loved us so much that he sent himself. He came in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh, come to take care of it. Come to rectify the situation. While we were ungodly, God came in the flesh. He died on the cross to take that imperfection, that weakness, and that sin from us, so that we could be reconciled to our Creator, so that we could have the strength we need for today and the hope that we need for tomorrow. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that we're not perfect, but God knows it. He sent his Son, and he forgives us anyway. Christianity brings more than a crutch. We have strength for today through our faith in Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, but Christianity brings more than a crutch. It brings us the cross, a hope for eternity. It brings us eternal salvation. And those who are weak, those who are humbled by the circumstances of this life, are more quickly able to recognize it and admit it. They can't deny it. Everybody can see it. There's no point in pretending anymore. Christianity brings us more than a crutch. It brings us a cross. And those who are humble, those who will admit their sin and repent of it, will receive God's forgiveness and salvation. But this myth isn't all true. There is something that's not true about this myth, and it's what's not said usually. Christianity is a crutch for the weak. What's implied is that there are some people who are strong. And that is the deception. That is the myth. There's this movie that I really used to like when I was a teenage boy. And in this movie, King Arthur needs to cross a bridge. And he comes to this bridge, and there's a knight dressed in black standing on the bridge. And King Arthur says, "I need to get across the bridge." And the black knight says, "None shall pass." And he says, "Good sir knight, I must cross this bridge. If you won't let me cross, then we'll have to fight." And so the knight says, "Well, then let's have at it." And they draw their swords and they start fighting. And after an intense battle scene, King Arthur chops off the knight's arms and seemingly wins the battle. And he says, "You have fought bravely, Sir Knight, but the victory is mine." And he kneels on his knee and begins thanking God for strength in the victory. And out of nowhere, out of complete surprise, the black knight with no arms boots him in the face. And he says, "What are you, chicken? Come on, fight like a man." And King Arthur says, "You've got no arms." And the black knight says, "The black knight is always victorious." And King Arthur says, "Fine, well, I'll have your legs." And so they start fighting again. He's getting kicked, and he chops off his legs. And the black knight is on the ground, just a torso without any limbs. And King Arthur, once again, he compliments him for his bravery. He says, "Sir Knight, you fight with the strength of many men." but the victory is mine. And he begins to cross the bridge. And the Black Knight goes, are you yellow? Running away? The Black Knight is always victorious. Come back and fight. And Sir Arthur goes, you're a lunatic. And he goes on his way. And the Black Knight fought without any reason, any sense, any weapons, any hope. He was completely deceived to think he was victorious while he was utterly and totally defeated. He fought a losing battle without even recognizing it or being willing to recognize it. And as I sat there and I had this conversation with my friend Mark, I thought about the Black Knight. There was someone who was completely deceived, completely unwilling to admit their weakness and their sin. Like the Black Knight, he claimed victory in the midst of a hopeless situation. He claimed he was strong, even though his life shows otherwise. Why not just lay down the weapons? Why not just stop fighting against God and accept his plan of salvation? Enter into his love and the strength that he wants to share with you. And Christ died for all of us. But it's only those of us who humble ourselves, admit our weakness and repent of that weakness, that sin, and accept forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who will see God's salvation, who will experience God's strength. While those who were proud and refused to look at it and recognize it will miss it. And if you need strength for today in your current situation, if you need the Lord's strength, turn with me to Psalms 46. We're going to read about a man who celebrates God's strength. In Psalm 46, starting in verse 1, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help means a help that's readily available and accessible to us. God is there in times of trouble. Before I came to Christ, I didn't know what this meant. I looked at the world and I said, are you kidding? Look at all the people starving and dying and suffering. God is not doing a good enough job of running this world. There's no help. There's no help in times of trouble. But a Christian knows that while God oftentimes does not remove our trouble from us, his presence is the greatest strength and hope and joy that you can experience. There is help in trouble. And it's present and available to us. And the psalmist celebrates that. He says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. He's using poetic language to just describe in life when the world seems to be falling apart around you. When you've got the presence of God in your life, you do not fear. It's an incredible strength. It's an incredible joy that defies reason and understanding. And it's there for us. Even when the world seems like it's falling apart, God is there for us. In contrast to those waters of this world that he's poetically talking about, that rage and foam when the world seems like it's falling apart, in contrast to that, is the presence of God. And he says, the presence of God, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. And God will help her when morning dawns. The city of God, those who know God, those who are in the midst of this crazy, chaotic world, have the presence of God with them, whose presence, in contrast, is like a peaceful stream that makes them glad, even when the world seems to be falling apart around them. And they have God's help. And the psalmist continues on. He says, the nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of gods is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And here he's giving the example of war. When humanity gets together and we bring our worst, when we get together and combine our our collective insecurity and weakness and sin, That's what war is. The worst calamity that humanity can bring, even then, God's presence is strong and is a source of help. Even while human beings lose sight of what's important, unable to admit their weakness, repent of their sin, they clash and fight and tear the world apart. Even then, there's God's presence. And at any point, we can turn and receive salvation, receive that stream from God, receive the strength for today. Even in the midst of all that chaos and calamity, anytime we want, God is standing there saying, be still. Stop your fighting. Stop your insanity. Be still at any point. Be still and know that I am God. And God's confident, I will be exalted among the nations. There are enough people that will always stop and pause and recognize God's presence. There will always be enough people humbled by the circumstances of this world to stop and drop to one knee and say, I'm weak, I can't do it on my own, I need you, Jesus. And God works through those who are weak. And even when the world's falling apart, whether our situation is because of the natural disasters and calamity and chaos of living in a sinful, broken, fallen world, or if it comes at the hands of other people as humanity, we're caught up in this wave of humanity altogether with our insecurities and weaknesses, or if it comes from our own inside problems. Whatever humbles us in life, whatever our circumstances are, God is there for us. Christianity is a crutch for the weak. Thank God. Thank God that He comes and brings strength to those who need it. Because of God's presence in my life, I can say that I'm so much happier than before, but I'm still weak. I still can't do it on my own. I need God's presence in my life. God gives us strength for this world. He is our crutch. He brings more than a crutch. He offers us the cross, His own death for us, so that the ways in which we've been ungodly, our weakness, would no longer stand between us and God. And what's going on in your life? What do you need in your life? And how can God's presence be with you in your situation? Let's pray and ask God for His presence and His help. Lord God, I thank You so much for the joy that You give us. God, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit, which is real and dwells among us right now. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the strength that You give to the humble and the weak. And God, while it is hard to face our weakness, Lord, I thank You so much for humbling us through the circumstances of this life to the point where we drop our pride and we admit our weakness and our sin and can share in the strength that You want to share with us, Lord, and the joy. God, I thank You for the peace and the hope and the forgiveness and the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. God, I pray, God, whatever we're going through, whether it's the mountains falling and the seas raging and the situations of this life bringing us low, or if it's other people's sin, God, that we're experiencing and suffering from, or whether we're suffering, looking inside and seeing that we're not victims, but it's our own sin that's bringing us low, God, whatever it is, Lord, we give that to You. We ask for Your presence. We turn our eyes to You. God, I pray that You'd help us right now to be still and know that You are God. Send Your Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord, as we seek You, as we need You. And Lord, we pray for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord, that You'd bless it. And that this church could be a place where people could come to connect with others and connect with God. People who need others, people who are weak, people who need You, God. We pray that You'd bless us, that we could be that type of place. And Lord, send us those who are weak and who are being humbled by the circumstances of this life. We pray all this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. At this time, the ushers are going to come forward and take the offering. If you're a guest here, we ask that you not put anything in the basket. Our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing for the ministry. If you are a guest, though, please fill out the connection card. Let us know that you're here. Put it in the basket. And after the service, you can meet me in the foyer. We've got a little welcome bag and gift for you. And after the basket's passed, please stand and join us in worship.